You know, the first thing that you remember that he told Timothy when we was dealing with last week, you know, God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And that's one of the things that is such a blessing. You know that to give it a sound mind, especially when it comes to the gospel, the word of God, and the power and the love that comes through the gospel. And that's why he says here in verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus, or of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." And this is the first thing he says to him. He said, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. What our Lord came and told about himself. What he told about his Father. What he told about the Old Testament. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 1:16, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of where I was ashamed of that. I don't even want to mention what it was. But he said, when it comes to the gospel, he said, I'm not ashamed. And the reason I'm not ashamed, because the only place you'll find out how you can become righteous, and God can stay righteous, and he can be just, and you can be justified, is in the gospel. So that's the most blessed thing that you'll ever hear in your life. What? Be ashamed of that? Be ashamed of our Lord's person? Glorious person? God who came down in flesh? To be ashamed of his offices? Mediator? Prophet? Priest? King? Savior? Redeemer? Oh no. Be ashamed of his righteousness? Well, it's the only one that gives us a standing before God. Be ashamed of his sufferings? Oh my, because he suffered not for himself. He suffered for our sins. That's the reason he suffered. And then about his resurrection. I read to you Sunday how that they said when Paul was preaching to them the resurrection, let's hear what this babbler has to say. He's brought strange things to our ears. That there's a man who was raised from the dead. There's a man who was raised. There was a resurrection of this person he calls Jesus Christ. And I tell you, the only person ever rose from the dead of their own power is the Lord Jesus. All the rest of us, if we're raised from the dead, it'll be because he does it. He's the only one who can do it by his own power. And I tell you, I know this much, that I tell you what, be ashamed of his return? No. I tell you, no preacher, nobody that professes faith in Christ or professes Christ to be their all, has any reason to be ashamed before this wicked, wicked, evil world. We've got the best news that anybody has ever heard. Huh? And all to be ashamed of this gospel before this old evil world, that this gospel that's so great, this gospel that's so glorious, this gospel that's so true. And not only is it true, but it's useful. You know, the gospel's useful. It's always useful. It's useful to bring peace to us, useful to feed us, useful to instruct us, useful to rebuke us. The gospel is so useful. Oh, the peace it brings, the rest it brings. Oh, the gospel does. And so he said, be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord. And all the things that our Lord said about himself, all the I ams that he said. Oh my, and then he says, and don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. You know what, Paul, he was being held a prisoner in Rome. And you know there had to be chained or handcuffed to guards. And these Roman guards, and they had to be chained to them or handcuffed to them, called them these chains. But he says, don't be ashamed of me. I may be a prisoner held down here in Rome, but he said, I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I've committed no crime. I've broken no laws. I'm here for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel that I preach. The Jews couldn't stand it. The Romans couldn't stand it. Caesar couldn't take it. That there was another king besides Caesar. There was someone who had authority and power over him and everybody else. And that the law couldn't do nothing for you. Works couldn't do nothing for you. Phariseeism couldn't do nothing for you. And so they said, we'll put this man out of business. So he appealed to Caesar and ended up in Rome. But you know what he says? Nor of me, whose prisoner? The prisoner of the Lord. Huh? Go back, keep this, and go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Go over to Ephesians, back to your left just a little. Ephesians 3. Look what he says now here. Oh my. He wasn't a prisoner of Rome. Look what he says here in Ephesians 3:1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner, listen to this, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. For you Gentiles. Look what he says in chapter 4, verse 1. There I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. That's what he's saying. I'm just happy to be held in Rome, but I'm Christ's prisoner. I'm the Lord's prisoner. I'm here because Christ put me here. And I'm His prisoner. And I tell you, he said, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of me and don't be ashamed of my chains. Don't you be ashamed of the gospel that I preach. Don't you be ashamed. There's no reason for you to ever be ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of himself. He took every opportunity. You go to Acts chapter 28. And when Paul first got to Rome in Acts 27, it says there that they met, many met him at the Appian Way. And when they met him there, the brethren met him there, and it says that he took courage. He got so happy, he took courage to see all the brethren that came out of Rome to meet him. And then when he got in Rome, they let him go into this home for a while and kept him in this house, a house that they got for him. And he preached the gospel from morning to night. And you know what it says? Some believe, some believe not. But I tell you what, he says, don't be ashamed. Don't you be ashamed of me. Don't you be ashamed of my chains. Don't you be ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed at all of anything that's ever fell out to me. He said, this will be the last time you'll see my face. When he was leaving Ephesus that time. And I tell you, none of his friends was ashamed of him either. I tell you, he was setting an example. And then look what he says to Timothy here, and back over here in our text in verse 8. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. What he said, Timothy, if you're going to preach the gospel, you're going to partake of the afflictions of the gospel. The gospel itself brings afflictions with it. Let me tell you a story that I heard last week. David Edmondson, pastor up in Bible Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. He had a radio broadcast. And of course he preaches free grace, sovereign grace. Well, they called him up and says, we can't run your program anymore on here. He said, well, why? He said, you mentioned sovereign grace. He said, is there any other kind of grace? And you know, they took him off of there. And I'll tell you why they took him off there. Because the man at pastor the church, that's a free will Baptist church. And they said, these folks can't take it. It's just the opposite of what I believe. So they cut him off. Because he used the word sovereign grace. If he had just said grace, put some conditions on it, he'd have been able to stay on there forever. But when you talk about grace reigning, grace with the power, grace with the rights, grace with its freedom, and God in control over that grace, that ain't gonna be, you don't, not many people are gonna believe that. They're not gonna believe that. They're not gonna do it. Timothy, you're gonna have to endure afflictions for preaching and professing the gospel. Now here's the thing, the gospel of peace, that's what it's called, the gospel of peace, the gospel of liberty. But yet man in his depravity, man, his awful, awful depravity, he cannot stand the fact that God is an electing God, that God chooses whom he will. And they get upset with that. And when you call them sinners, real bona fide sinners in the sight of God, they don't like that. And how many homes have been divided? How many husbands and wives has had fights? How many churches has been split because somebody was taught the gospel and there's depravity, he don't like it, it brings trouble, it brings division, and they're ashamed of the gospel because it tears down their little playhouse. And I tell you, it tore down my playhouse. I thank God it did. I thank God that one day he crossed my path with the gospel of grace. Somebody told me the truth, and my little church house and my little playing religion and my little what they call a preaching, and all God just tore it all down, and he left me one place to stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And I'm standing right there. Huh? Oh my, we're not going to. Oh, and then he says, be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now that means two things. That the power of God is going to be the one bringing you into the afflictions. And the power of God is going to uphold you in those afflictions. God don't take you no place and he don't go with you. Or he didn't went before you. And he ain't already set foot on. Huh? Oh, that's why we talk about his grace is sufficient. And at his own time and place. I tell you what, there's going to be times, there's going to be times. And there's been a lot of times over the years that I've had a lot of trouble over the gospel. A lot of trouble over it, but I tell you, they finally figured out that I wasn't going to quit. In fact, Dr. Davidson asked me the other day, he said, you still preaching? I said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Still preaching. That's the first thing you want to know. You still preaching? You could quit. Well, you know, in boxing, if you corner thinks you're getting beat too bad, they got a towel, and they'll throw in the towel, and they say, stop the fight, said my fight's getting beat too bad. Well, I tell you one thing, God's preachers, God's people that know the gospel and trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be their all, they ain't never going to throw in the towel. I don't care how hard the trial is, I don't care how tough the way it gets to be, there's nothing goes on to say, well, I'm throwing in the towel. No, we're not going to do that. Because you know why? We can't be whipped. We can't be beat. Christ already won the victory for us. Huh? And then look what he said here. Oh, I love this. Oh, this is the verse of scripture. God settled me so solidly on the gospel right here. Who has saved us, the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And you know, he started out and said, don't be ashamed. Be not thou for ashamed of me, the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we be ashamed of one who brought us and bought us an eternal salvation? Huh? Who had called us by his Holy Spirit. Who called us by his Holy Spirit. And brought us and gave us his own righteousness. And brought grace to us with all of his glory and all of his power and all of his strength and all of his freeness. Oh, how powerful grace is. Grace can't be turned on with a switch. Grace can't be turned off. Grace is something that Christ bought, God bought, belongs to God, and He's got it in His power to give it. And oh my, and oh, He redeemed us. Oh, how can we be ashamed of Him who redeemed us by His own blood and made us His children? And it says, not according to our works. Not any time before He called us and saved us. Not any time after He called us and saved us. Our works has nothing to do with it. Never at any time. The first time we bring a work into it, we make the Christ of the gospel of none effect. We fall from grace. People talk about falling from grace. All you've got to do is fall from grace, add something to Christ. Or take something away. That's all it takes. But oh my. And then He did this according to His own purpose. He had His own purpose. And grace. And it was given to us in Christ. And look what He says. You know, as many times I've quoted this, it's today it really, really, the light shined on it. Gave us purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. Before the world began. Before God ever said, let there be light. Before God ever created the heavens and the earth. Before the world ever began. You know why the world began? So that He could have a people. That Christ could come and save them by His precious life and death and resurrection and ascension and intercession on their behalf. And He going to return again for them. God made this world to do one thing, to bring glory to Himself through His Son. And I tell you what, if He chose everyone that He was going to save, everyone He's going to give grace to, and He said, I've done it on purpose. And He did it for us in Christ before the world ever began. Now you figure that out. Let that thing sink into your soul. I said, before God ever said anything about creating the world, He gave us grace in Christ. He gave us love in Christ. He has set His purpose on us in Christ. Oh, oh, bless His name. That just, oh, how in the world could this be that God chose us in Christ, gave His Son of His love to save us, making us accepted in His beloved, keeping us. He refused to let us and leave us in our sins, but called us to Himself. And I tell you, then you go through Ephesians 1, and four times it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Four times to the praise of His glory. Four times it says, to the praise of His glory. That's why God does what He does. Oh my. And I tell you what, you're talking about to be ashamed of His gospel, be unthankful. To prefer the praise and comforts of this world, it's just unimaginable. But that's what the unregenerate heart does. That's why Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Huh? Oh my. You know the sovereignty of God in it. It says, He saved us. He called us. It's His purpose. Yeah, that shows His sovereignty. He did it. He did it. Like in Romans 8, it says, He, for whom He, He called, He justified, He glorified, He. I tell you, it all goes back. Oh, God bless His sovereignty. Thank God. All this is freely given us in Christ. Then look what it says in verse 10 now. Look what it says in verse 10. But this gospel, this salvation, this glorious salvation, this free salvation. The salvation of God's grace in Christ. By His own power, His own calling. Not anything we said, done, or ever will do or say. But this gospel is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this is the long and short of salvation is in Christ. We say that over and over and over again. Since the beginning, God's grace, God's gifts, God's mercy, God's love for the elect have all been in Christ even before the world ever began. The first, here's the thing about it. We would not know that this is where God done things and that not He saved us by His grace. We would have never seen that verse of Scripture, hadn't known nothing about it. Because it was hid before in God Himself, hid before in the counsels of God. And then when God began to write the Bible, and God had the Scriptures opened up, God started out with Christ in the promise. Then He started out with Christ when Enoch walked with God. Then He went to Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah saved in an ark. And I tell you, God began to unfold the gospel, unfold everything in Christ. Then He went to the Passover lamb. Then He went to Abraham. And then He went to Moses. And then He went to Isaac. And then He went to Jacob. And He proved all the Ruth, all down through the Scriptures, that there was one Savior, and all these people are saved by one person, and God promised them salvation in that person. And it started, you know, redemption starts in a promise, and then it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, until one day, Christ stepped on the scene. Oh, it was the Lord, all the tithes and the shadows and all the sacrifices, that morning lamb and evening lamb tells us about the Lamb of God that would come. Moses, being God's prophet, told us about Christ, our prophet, would come. And our high priest would talk about our high priest who would come. And oh my. And then there's Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. You don't know where he come from. You don't know where he went. And that's the way it is with Christ. He has no beginning of days, no ending of days. So, oh my. So God opened it up. Oh my. And here we are. And now here comes Christ, made of a woman, made under the law. And when He appears, the gospel comes clear as day. The sun arose. It comes out clear. Christ, who had been told He was coming, and all the things that happened, all the pictures and sacrifice, there He appears. There He appears. And the first words out of His mouth when He entered the ministry, first words out of His mouth, in Luke chapter 4, you know what they were? He stood up and said, "The Spirit of the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach the acceptable riches, acceptable year of God." And then He went on through several things, and He said, He held up the book and He said, today, that scripture right there is fulfilled in your ears. Oh, they wondered at His gracious words. And then they wanted to do away with Him. But oh my, when our Lord Jesus Christ, when He came and He appeared, He brought the freeness and the clearness of the gospel, the freeness and clearness and of God's work for us and the work that God gave Him to do. And I tell you, it happened when our Lord Jesus Christ was made in human flesh. Now let me ask you this. You think the Old Testament believers were ignorant of the grace in Christ? No, they weren't. Our Lord said, if you believe Moses, you'd believe me. Why? Because Moses wrote about me.
And then he said, Abraham, Abraham, rejoice to see my day, and saw it, and he was glad. And I tell you, Abraham and all the other believers, they placed their confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ appearing to put away their sin. And then look what else it says about him. By the appearing of our Savior. In Hebrews 9, there's three appearings of our Savior. And here's one of his appearings here. And when he hath appeared, he appeared as our Savior. He appeared as our Savior, Jesus Christ. And look what it said, who hath abolished death. Oh my, he destroyed death. You know, he destroyed the law of sin and death. The law is, and it's a principle, the law of sin. That equals death. Christ abolished the law, the principle of sin equals death. He abolished that. He destroyed Satan. He destroyed Satan, who has the power of death. And thirdly, he has taken away the sting of death. And you know what the sting of death is the law. He fulfilled the law, so he took away the sting of death for his people. And he took away the only thing that would sting them, and that's sin. And then it says, not only did he abolish death, but listen to this. He abolished the second death. You know what the second death is? That means not only do you die here, but then you die, ever die, ever dying in hell. Always dying. Always dying. That second death. We is dead in trespasses and sins, and then we go to that death, and the second death is that death that separates men from God. But he abolished that second death, and it has no power over us. Oh no. What he brought us? He brought us life. Ain't that what it says there? He brought life. He brought life. When he appeared, he abolished death, and then he brought life. He brought life with him. Huh? And look what else it says. It hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know, our Lord Jesus, the first, arose from the dead to an immortal life. Now, you know, immortal, people want to be immortal. We're going to be immortal. We're even immortal here until our work is done, one of the old hymn writers says. But he brought life, and he brought immortality to light through the gospel. How we going to live after this world's over? That's what he's talking about. He brought life. He said, listen, he prayed in John 17, he said, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. That's immortality. Oh, it was brought to life, brought to our understanding. Oh, and the doctrine of the resurrection. I mean, it was revealed even in the Old Testament. You remember Job said this, though he slay me, yet I'm going to trust him. And I shall receive my Redeemer in the last days in my flesh. I shall see myself, for he shall stand upon the earth. And I tell you, he looked forward to the resurrection. And I tell you, but oh, not as clear as it's revealed in the gospel now. He said, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. With a shout. With the voice of an archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with him. And you know what the next line says? Wherefore comfort one another with these words. That's immortality. Same thing as everlasting life. But we're not immortal until He brings us out of that grave. Mortal shall put on immortality. Corruption, going to put on incorruption. And this will be brought to pass, that same death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where's your sting? Oh grave, where's your power? Oh, what a blessed hope we have. And then look what he says, and I'll close with this. He said, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher. He said, I'm appointed a preacher. Why? Because God has saved us. He taught me the gospel. I've seen Christ and I've seen Him as my Savior. I've seen Him as my Redeemer. And I'm not afraid of death because He's abolished death. Oh my, He was right there. He was facing death. By the time we get to the end of this book, you'll see that Paul was standing right there looking death in the eye. And you know what he said? Time my departure's at hand. Time for me to leave here. Oh, I fought a good fight. I tell you what, I never surrendered. Never surrendered. And I finished my course. You know what? When I get up yonder, I've got me a crown of righteousness waiting on me. Not only me, but everybody that's looking for it. Our Lord, our precious, precious Savior, thank You for allowing us to look into Your Word tonight. Lord, no wonder You said it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh Lord, it reveals our hearts, our thoughts, our intents. And oh Lord, it brings us such comfort, such peace, such joy. Really, there is peace and joy in believing. God bless these dear saints. May the gospel be a blessing to them. May You keep them. And please be merciful to those who are not with us through the weakness of their body. We understand that these bodies are frail and weak. And oh God, we pray that You'd restore them as seemeth good in Your sight, for Christ's sake. Amen. I want you to turn to hymn number 400, and we're going to sing this. And it goes, When I Survey. I looked at this today, and it goes real good, I think, with our let's stand together. Jesus, shall it ever be. Jesus, and shall it ever be, a mortal man ashamed of Thee, ashamed of Thee, whom angels praise, whose glory shine through endless days. Ashamed of Jesus, sooner far, let evening blush to own a star. He sheds the beams of light divine o'er this benighted soul of mine. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, on whom my hopes of heaven depend. No, when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere His name. Ashamed.
Jesus, yes I may. When I've no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no fears to quell, no soul to save. Till then, no risk, my boasting vain. Till then I boast a Savior slain. And oh, may this my glory be, that Christ is not ashamed of me. Well, I'll see you Sunday, God willing.